It's such a blessing to be in God's house. I do want to say I'm thankful that God allowed us these songbooks. That's a beautiful song about the name of Jesus, and I'd never heard it before, and I'm looking forward to learning. Brother Gray's been teaching us new songs almost every week, and I have to say I'm excited about it. We've, like Pastor said, I've been here a long time, so I had them all memorized, and now I don't. So it's a good thing, and I'm excited about that. If you would take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The pastor had encouraged us. He told us we didn't have to necessarily preach Christmas, but he encouraged us to preach a Christmas message. And as I thought about it, there are so many characters involved in the narrative of Christmas. You have the shepherds, the wise men, even Herod. You know, you have Mary, Joseph, there's so many, the innkeeper. I mean, we've all heard messages on just about all of them, and there are definitely things that we can take from each. I mean, there are great things. There's nothing in the Word of God that's not there for us to teach us and to for our edification, and we can grow by it. The Holy Spirit of God can use it in our hearts. But the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, I just couldn't get away from the Lamb of God. The central theme of the Christmas story is God's Lamb, and the whole everything, the reason we have for celebration, the reason we have any hope, is because of the Christmas Lamb. And of course, I'm speaking of Jesus Christ, and you know, that is one of the names He uses for Himself, the Lamb of God. And He stood, the Bible says, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was prepared before the world was made to be that sacrifice. And, you know, I've thought about so many things about Christmas. And as I was praying and studying for this message and praying about the Lamb of God, you know, it was an interesting thing I never thought of before, but He's the Lamb of God, and He came to a manger, and God told shepherds first. I don't know, that may be a coincidence, but it was something that I saw in reading it, and that the Lamb of God came to a manger, and that's what He had stood before the foundation of the world, as that Lamb. And He came down to that manger, and God told shepherds first. It was encouragement to my heart, and I want to share with you what God has given me, and I trust that it will be a help to you. You know, the Almighty, He's chosen many times and many different titles for Himself, but we see from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the picture of the One who would come. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed the lambs, and they knew that that would not take away sin. That was a picture. They were looking forward. And we look back to that sacrifice on Calvary. And I just want to take some time tonight and share with you what God has laid on my heart about the Christmas Lamb. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege it is to stand and to deliver Your Word. I do not take it for granted. And God, I thank You for these wonderful people and for my church. I thank You for my pastor. God, I do ask prayer for those who are sick and those who are heavy tonight. God, may You be to each one what only You can be, dear Spirit of God. Use Your Word tonight in each heart. God, I know I'm nothing and I have nothing in and of myself. So I'm begging You to please use Your Word in each heart tonight. Be to each one tonight. Be close to those who are in pain. Be close to those who are hurting. And God, help as only You can. And may You receive honor and glory as we seek to magnify You as the Lamb of God. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we look, we start all the way in creation with the Lamb of God. The Bible tells us that He was there at creation. In fact, He was the Lamb prepared before the world was formed. He was already that one. He was ready for the sacrifice. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18 to 21, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We have been promised all the way from the foundation of the world. And we look, you know, if a lot of times we think and we say, well, if I were God or if I had control, and thank God none of us do. But God, knowing full well what man would cost him, made us anyway. He so desired a relationship with one who would choose him and would choose to love him and would choose to surrender to him and choose to obey him. He formed man and gave us a free will. And then man, of course, we know what he did. He knowingly, willingly disobeyed God. And because of that, that Adamic curse, that sin nature has been passed on all of us. And he stood as that lamb slain before he made man, before he made anything. And you know, this world seeks every chance it can to attack the sovereignty and the power of our God. It does it. It attacks creation every chance it gets. And so there's no way that, you know, there's billions and billions of years. We know because of this, and we tested this and science that. We need to stand firm in our faith in creation. It is a very important thing. When God, when he was there and he was beside the Euphrates and he formed man with his hands. You know, there's something special about that because he spoke everything into existence. But man, he formed us. And then he breathed into us the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That is a special, special thing. We are the height of God's creation. We are what he designed the world and everything for. It's for us. And yet, mankind turned their back on God. We can't possibly imagine what God was going through when he said, let us make man in our image. He's outside of time. He created time. He knew what man would do. He knew everything. He knows each one of us right now as we sit, what we're thinking, what we've done, how many hairs on our head, how many steps we take. We find these things in Scripture. He knows these things about us. He knew it at the point of creation, and he made us anyway. I cannot understand that. That's why he is infinite and I am finite. I cannot look at things the way God does, but he formed us. He made us, knowing full well the sacrifice that that lamb already prepared before, already made. The substitutionary sacrificial lamb was already ready when he made us, when he formed man, when he made everything. He was there at creation. I want to look at the Lamb at Christmas. If you'll look in your Bibles in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And of course that is the fulfilling of Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lamb at Christmas was predicted. This is just one instance. There are many, many, many passages that talk about where he would be born. They talk about when he would be born. These things, when he would come. And of course, the wise men knew of this. We see that. They came from afar. They followed the star. They knew they were following. Where is he that is born? King of the Jews. It was predicted. They knew he was coming and they were looking for him. They had followed his star and they were looking for him. It was predicted. Hey, it was punctual. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of son. Galatians 4, 4 and 5. It was punctual. It was right on time. He came right when he was supposed to. It was perfect. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. This world and its system, it tries to belittle who Christ is. It tries to make his deity, it tries to take away his deity. You know, this is, and this isn't even in my notes, this is why I use the King James Bible. All other translations attack the deity of Christ. They take away from who he is. They attack the virgin birth. If he wasn't born of a virgin, he could not be the Son of God. He could not be the Son of Man. He couldn't be the one to take away our sin if he wasn't virgin born. If your Bible says young woman, you need to get rid of it because that's not true. He could not be born of a young woman, any young woman. It had to be a virgin birth. It had to be supernaturally. God did it. God did it. It had to be from him. He's perfect. He didn't have a sin nature. He had no Adamic nature. Man could have nothing to do with him. Nothing at all. 1 Peter 2:22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And of course the Bible says in another passage, if a man sinned not in his mouth, the same as a perfect man. And Christ was a perfect man. He lived on this earth. He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was perfect. Hey, it was pondered. And of course, we've had a message on this just recently. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. This is what she heard from the shepherds. When she heard, she'd already been told by the angel about Christ, and that she already knew, she, you know, all these things that she had heard. And of course, God spoke to Joseph and told him more things in a different way. And there was reasons for that. We just heard a great message on that. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. But here she is, and she hears that this host of angels appears, and she hears what they say, and she ponders these things in her heart. Hey, can we take time just to ponder in our heart what it meant for God to come down? What it meant for God to put on flesh? I mean, to live among us. You know, this is not the story we would have written if we were to write a story. This is why, you know, the people that attack the scripture and they come up with every reason under the sun. Most of them have a bunch of letters behind their name that really mean nothing. But they come up with all kinds of ways, and they have degrees, and they say this, and they stick their nose up at scripture, and oh, it's man. I'm sorry, I've seen men and what they write, and none of them can agree. You can talk to three men on the same topic who've done this whole life, and none of them agree. None of them agree on one thing. And it could be something as simple as changing an alternator on a Ford truck. They don't agree. Everyone has their own way of doing it. And they've been doing it for 35 years, but their way is the best way. You read through Scripture, and we see it's continuity. And you see the scarlet thread of the blood of Christ and the sacrificial lamb starting all the way in Genesis when he made the sacrifice and he made skins and he covered their sin with that blood, with that sacrifice, all the way through and all the way through the law when he tells them it had to be a perfect lamb, it had to be a young lamb, it had to be everything. It couldn't have any bones broken. The blood had to be shed. It had to be consumed in the fire. These different things, everything was done so they would be looking for that Messiah, looking for the Christ. It was pondered. It was punctuated. Hey, the angels came to the shepherds. And can you imagine? Sometimes we read Scripture, and I think we're so familiar with it that we miss out on it. Here are shepherds, and they're out here in a field. There's no streetlights. It's dark. There may have been a little fire there. And the Bible says, all of a sudden, boom, lights and angels. You know, there's a lot of people that say they see angels. But the thing is, I don't believe them, because anywhere in Scripture where angels are seen, whoever sees them is terrified. They're terrified. It isn't like popping your gun, just talking about and telling the narrative of the story. It's always included, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Why? Because they're afraid. They're terrified. And when you read the description of angels, number one, I know they're not fat babies with wings, you know, cherubs. That's not what they are, okay? That's not what they are. They're described as fierce. They're described as warriors. They're described with, you know, six wings and all these things. It's not something that we'd be like, oh, look, an angel. I think we would be terrified. I think we'd be scared. And so these guys are in the middle of nowhere. It's dark. And here they are. And the angel said unto them, let me give you the reference, Luke 2:10-14. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. we don't need to get so lost in the fact that we know the Christmas story that we miss out on the fact that this was an announce. It was punctuated. God didn't just let it go quietly and just slip by. He made sure that mankind knew who Christ was, why He came, that He was born the Savior, that He was born King of the Jews. These things are things we don't need to miss out on. God didn't let it slip by silently. He made sure that people knew. The wise men came. They told Herod. And of course, we know everything that happened because of that. The death of the one 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the crying of Rachel for her children. You know, we see that in Scripture and we know this. Let's not let it pass lightly by that it was an announcement. It was a punctuated announcement. The Lamb at Christmas. But it was purposed. He had a reason for His coming. And she shall bring forth her son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's the reason He came. He came to be the sacrifice. He came to be the one sacrificial lamb who could take away the sins of the world. What did John the Baptist say? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not just covers it, He takes it away. His blood is the only blood that could take away sin. It wasn't a sacrifice. Remember, they had to have the Day of Atonement. And they had to offer one and then two. And everything that had to be happened with the priest going into the Holy of Holies. And he could die if he didn't have his self right. And then he had to offer once for himself and then once for the people. Hey, Christ went once into it. And that was it. Because He was the perfect sacrifice. He had no sin to offer sacrifice for. He died for you and for me. That was the purpose for His coming. Let's look at the Lamb on the cross. The Lamb on the cross. We can't talk about Christmas without talking about the cross. The song has been sung here already. That when He was born, there was the shadow of the cross there at the manger. I don't know full well that Mary understood that when all this was happening. I know she knew He was the Savior, but I don't know she understood that He would have to die. I don't know that she understood all these things that would have to happen. But the Lamb on the cross, we cannot talk about Christmas without talking about the Lamb on the cross. We know the story of the cross. It's everything our Savior went through. None of it was deserved. None of it did He merit because of any action that He had done. He was only kind and good. I mean, you think about what Christ had done. And really, the fact is, even the ones who said crucify him, they couldn't understand and they could not explain the things that He had done. They said no man could do the things you do except He come from God. They had even admitted that. But because He was born to a carpenter's son, because He was lowly, because He was meek, because He wasn't head and shoulders and beautiful, He was like a root out of the dry ground, the Bible says. There was nothing in Him. He wasn't comely. He wasn't desirable. That they rejected Him because of His low estate. If He had come as big, strapping, strong, beautiful, political overthrower, they would have accepted Him in a heartbeat. But because He came the way He came, they rejected Him. Even though the miracles they couldn't explain. How do you explain somebody taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeding 5,000? You can't explain it. You can't replicate it. You can't. Only God can do that. How can you explain somebody walking on water? You can't. How can you explain somebody saying, "Peace be still," and the winds and the waves cease their raging and become like glass? You know, that's not even possible. If the wind stopped and the storm stopped, it takes a long time for the waves to calm down. No. Instantly, it was still. Because even the disciples who had walked with him and seen Him said, "What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the waves obey Him." But they rejected Him. He wasn't what they were looking for. They weren't looking for redemption for their souls. They were looking for political release, freedom from the Romans, a king to sit on a throne. But He was King of the Jews. He is King of the Jews. And He came to die to pay for their sins. The Bible says in Isaiah 52:14, we see that He was beaten. as many were stoning at thee. This is Isaiah. This is a foretelling of what would happen. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. I don't think you could, any artist could draw a picture out of their wildest imagination. The best Hollywood effects could come up with how bad our Savior looked. He was so beaten. I don't think we could come up with it. I don't think we could draw it. I don't think our imagination could comprehend it. I don't believe it was so gruesome. And there are people with much better vocabulary than I, and much better at describing things, and have much better imaginations. But I don't believe we can even come close to how badly our Savior was beaten. The Lamb on the cross was beaten. Hey, He was bloody. Hebrews 9:11-12 says, "But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." The blood of Christ. The Bible says He was flayed. He was beaten with that cat of nine tails. And just like the evangelist pointed out, it was none of this, 39 save one. He was skinned alive. Skinned alive, flayed. That was the cost of my sin. He hath made Him to be sin for us. It was brutal. We read through Isaiah 53. Starting verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Look, I know there are people here tonight and you are under a burden and you are sad and you are heavy. But I'm here to tell you, Christ is there. He has borne your burden. He has borne your griefs. He can help your heart if you'll go to Him and trust Him. He has borne those sadnesses. He has borne those things. The depth of the affliction that He took on, we cannot fathom. We cannot imagine. And He's felt all of our infirmities, no matter how deep they are. "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Some of the verses that I could never explain are the verse 10 and verse 11 of Isaiah 53. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, he shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." That's what He did on the cross. He bore the iniquities of the world. Every sin that has ever been committed was on our Savior on the cross. He died for those sins. There is no one so bad that the blood of Christ cannot cover their sin. None of us. The worst person you could think of, Christ died to cover their sin. And if they would trust Him, He will save them. That's His promise. The Lamb on the cross. Lastly tonight, let's look at the Lamb coming again. He's coming again. I got news for you. You may be here tonight. You may be under the sound of my voice with live stream. And you've never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, He is the Lamb. He's the Lamb. He's the only one who could take away your sin. He's purchased your redemption. The gift is there for you to receive if you by faith will just trust Him and realize that you're a sinner and that you deserve the penalty and that Christ took your place and He died and He rose again the third day and that He ever lived. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And if you will trust Him, He will save your soul. But if you're here and you've never done that, I'm here to tell you there is coming a day where the Lamb of God becomes the Lion. There is coming a day, and we read in Revelation, and when He comes to open the seals of the book, There was no one found worthy to open the seals, not in heaven, not in earth, not under the earth. No one could open the book. And one of the elders came to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb." And when he looked, he saw, he said, "The Lion of the of tribe of Judah." And when he looked, he saw a lamb as it had been slain. That's our Savior. There will come a day. Hey, his first coming, he's the Lamb. At his second coming, he's the Lion. There's not any more chances then. There's no more chances then. That's when he takes his church out, when the rapture happens, they'll believe a strong delusion. But the folks who have heard will believe a strong delusion. They have heard the gospel. They have rejected Christ. Hey, they have said no to the Lamb. Now they will recognize the Lion. They will, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late. He's the Lamb. As the Lamb, he's meek. And as the Lion, he's majestic. As the Lamb, he is the Savior. As the Lion, he's the Judge. There's coming that day. And it will be here. Nothing, no prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Nothing needs to happen for Christ to come back. That's the next event on God's calendar, is the rapture of the church. When he comes in the clouds, and the trump of God sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That last trump of the church age, that last trump of the church age, when it sounds, that's the next thing on the prophetic calendar. Think about it. How wonderful would it be on Christmas Day, we're wiping the sleep out of our eyes and that trump sounds. And that would be a great Christmas gift. I mean, I'm ready to meet him. There's nothing in my life more important than getting to see my Savior face to face. Not a thing. Not achieving something, not getting to this level, not doing that. Nothing. Nothing is more important than that. And he's coming. It could be any day. It could be any moment. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be. We ought to be ready for his coming. Are you ready for his coming? Revelation 5, 5 and 6. I quoted a little bit. "And one of the elders said to me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." The lamb becomes the lion. Now He's meek and lowly. He wants you to come. He says, "Whosoever will, let him come." He wants whosoever. There are some people that believe a doctrine of a selection. And they call it election, but it's really selection. Pastor says, "You know, he loves me, he loves me not." That's not how God works. For God so loved who? The world. That's every ethnicity, every language. And in Revelation, in studying for this, the elders say, "Thou called us out of every tongue and every kindred and every place." We're here. They're before the throne of God. There will be people from everywhere in heaven. He's not a God of selection. He's a God of whosoever will. Yes. Whosoever will. And that includes you. That's what Christmas is. That's the reason he came. Yes, he was born in a manger. Yes, the wise men. Yes, the shepherds. Yes, Mary. Yes, Joseph. Yes, the innkeeper. And the world didn't have room for him. And all these things. And yes, we can go down that road. But the fact of the matter is, the Lamb of Christmas is Jesus Christ. The one who came to this earth to die. So that we could live. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. Without Christ, there would be no hope. No hope at all. Without him. But he came to this earth to die for the world, for anyone, for whosoever. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, and I don't take for granted, I know most all of you, but I don't take for granted for one second that you know for sure that your sins are underneath the blood of Jesus Christ, that you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And I'm not to make anyone doubt. But there are people who go to bed at night and they wonder and they fear and they fret. And they're trusting in some prayer they prayed, but they have doubt. Hey, you don't have to have doubt. You don't have to wonder. You can know your sins are taken away. You can know you have a home in heaven. You can know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can know that. My name's written there. There's a song of my name's written there. On the page, white and fair, in the book of God's kingdom, my name's written there. How wonderful it is to know my name's in heaven. It doesn't deserve to be, but because of Jesus Christ and what He did, it is. I want to share a little poem with you that I found. The Lamb of Christmas. Before the world was formed, before the earth took shape, there stood a lamb adorned to die for Adam's race. He knew the cost full well, yet never failed to do completely the Father's will, to ransom me and you. Without this spotless lamb, what could this sinner do? Just what would be the cost to redeem my soul that's lost? Oh, I could try in vain, good work to my count a lot, suffer agony, anguish, and pain, yet all this would not remove one blot. The Lamb of God, His only Son, the spotless, sinless, perfect one. He bore the sin of you and me, and of all the world, when He died on Calvary. Only the Lamb could take away the awful sin of Adam's race. He gave the greatest gift that day, when on a cross He took my place. All we like sheep, the Scriptures say, have lived our lives and gone astray. God, who is just, cannot excuse, allow, or pardon, and must refuse us entrance into heaven's glory, unless by faith we believe the story of the spotless Christmas Lamb, who stood prepared to fulfill God's plan. The wonderful Christmas Lamb's redemption, freely offered to all without exemption. Oh, will you by faith believe and accept the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive? That would be my prayer and my hope for any who don't know Jesus Christ. Oh, what a life it would be to live not knowing where you're going. Not sure when your life ends, what happens. Oh, if you don't know and you're doubting, please don't leave that way tonight. If you're watching live stream and you don't know, reach out, message, call. We'd be happy to take God's word and show you how you can know this Christmas Lamb that took your place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this night. I thank You most of all for redemption full and free through Your precious blood. Oh God, I know that I can never deserve what You've done for me. Please, God, thank You for that sacrifice. Thank You for what You've done for me. I do pray, dear God, if there's one here tonight, that You'll take Your word and do the Holy Spirit of God, do what You promise and draw them. If they don't know where they'd spend eternity, or maybe they are saved, God, they're far from You. God, may You use Your word to draw them back to You tonight. If there are those who are heavy, may they come to You, God, and trust that You'll take their burdens and help them. God, we love You, and we thank You for Your word. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Pastor.